This is the Faith Factor Podcast, and today we are continuing our verse-by-verse study in Colossians at Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Many people today, and maybe this includes you, are obsessed by all things COVID. I'm talking about people who ingest, and have done so for months, large quantities of COVID-related news, and are always thinking about and talking about stats and COVID trends and masks and lockdowns and vaccines and whether the government's doing the right thing, passports, etc., and on it goes. I wonder if we spent equal time reading our Bibles, praying, thinking about eternal things, meditating on the scriptures, where would we be? You know where we'd be. We'd be in a much better place in terms of our mental health and our spiritual health. We'd find ourselves experiencing more peace and joy. We'd be more empowered by the Spirit and having a greater capacity to reflect the glory of Christ in our dark, COVID-shaped world. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't be aware of what is going on around us. I'm just suggesting that many of us need to employ better balance. So how come so many of us struggle with this obvious and unhelpful and unhealthful imbalance? It starts with our minds, what we focus on, what we feed on, what goes in and through our minds, and what we think about ourselves in terms of our own identity. That's why Bible reading, memorization, study, meditating is essential to our spiritual health, and we need to think about, to focus on and worship the Lord Jesus. Who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing for us now, interceding for us with his Father. And so Paul cautions us as we begin chapter 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Your Bible version may start, if then you have been raised with Christ. That is not an if of any doubt in the apostle's mind, but rather a rhetorical if, or an if for the sake of argument. To make it more clear, some versions translate, since then you have been raised with Christ, because that's the status of every believer. The Christ follower has been raised to newness of life. We discussed that when we looked at baptism in chapter 2, verse 12. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Justification is God declaring us to be righteous based on our faith in Christ alone. That happens when we first come to Christ, embracing him by faith as our Lord and Savior. And from that point, the Father sees in us not our sin and hypocrisy and weakness and rebellion, but God sees in us the righteousness of his Son. He sees us as being in Christ. And he places great value on us because of our relationship to his Son. Every person who is a Christ follower is saved or justified to the same extent, to the same level, to an equal degree. But whereas every authentic Christian is saved to the same degree, every believer is sanctified to a different degree. Why is that? Well, first of all, we better define that term as we explore it. Sanctification is the lifelong process that begins with coming to Christ in faith, being saved, being born again, being justified, and it continues for your entire life. It is the work of the Spirit of God to make you and me more holy, to build the righteousness of Christ, which the Father already sees in us, to build that into our words, our actions, our attitudes, to embed it in our very character, to incrementally, bit by bit, over time, but progressively and certainly make us more like Christ. So why don't all believers get sanctified to the same level? Well, in one sense, we will when we're finally with Christ. We'll all be sanctified completely, 100%. But not while we're living this life. Some believers make great, measurable, constant progress. Others seem to be slow and held back by habits and hang-ups, taking two steps forward only to take one step back. Why is that? Well, I think justification is a monergistic activity. Think about that word monergistic. Erg, in the middle, means work, and mono means one. One party is working. that speaks to the spiritual transaction of salvation or justification, where only one party is working, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you think about it, our contribution is one thing, only our sin. And consequently, you and I are saved or justified to the same extent, completely. However, sanctification, being made progressively more like Christ, more righteous, more holy, is a synergistic process. S-Y-N, the first three letters, or the prefix of that word, mean together with, suggesting more than one party, and they are working together. The power all comes from the Spirit of God. That's His role to make us more holy in sanctification, but He engages in that task requiring my cooperation. We are called, although we cannot move the process ahead on our own, we are called to help create an environment in our lives where the Spirit's work is effective, maximally operative. So a person who engages in Bible reading and study, and prayer and worship, and authentic fellowship, and makes those activities a priority, not because they're legalistic to impress someone or to earn God's love, but because they want to honor Christ, that person will typically see greater, more sustained, healthy spiritual progress than the person who is less committed, less intentional, less disciplined, making less of an effort and priority. As I read those early words, "Set your hearts on things above," where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, I'm reminded of the words of A.W. Tozer in his classic, The Knowledge of the Holy. The first line of the first chapter makes this startling assertion, and I've often reflected on it. Here's what Tozer says, quote, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us," end of quote. Paul wants us to think carefully about what we think about, what we're focused on, what consumes our mental energy every day. Here's a diagnostic question we all need to contemplate. If those closest to me were to be asked about what occupies my mind, what is it that I think about when I can think about anything at all? What is my obsession? What would they say? That's important. Verse 3, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." One of many changes that occurred to each of us at the point of our conversion, our justification, is that the power of sin is and was broken in our lives. We died to it. Our experience is, our practice is, that the presence of sin is something we continue to battle with, but its power is unplugged. And talk about the maximum in protection and security. Your life, Paul says, is now hidden with Christ in God. And then Paul appeals to those first century believers, and through this letter to us in the 21st century, to think about Christ, who is our master and has given us eternal life. He is our life, and He will come again for His people. Or we may die and be in His presence before that event. But at that instant, nothing else will matter. Only how we've lived for Him, how we've served Him, how our priorities and identity have anticipated our meeting Him face to face. Verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." As a consequence of this truth, this heavy truth, is this fact as stated by Bible teacher William MacDonald when he says, quote, "His destiny and ours is inseparable." End of quote. What kind of people, therefore, should we be? What should my focus in life be? Again, I need to be focused on cooperating with the synergistic work of God's Spirit to make me the man, the husband, the father, the son, the employee, the neighbor, the friend, the one who serves Christ's church that He has called me to be. Then and only then will you or I one day hear these words, "Well done, good faithful servant."